back with my co-host, Jerry. Jerry, what's happening, babe?
What's up, my man? How you been? It's been a long time.
I know it's been a long time, but I've been busy. So we are here tonight, 8 o'clock. We're here till 9, so we're going to break it out. Let me start by saying the show is sponsored by Trinity Web Solutions. Trinity Web Solutions is where you can come get emails, domains. You can come get all kind of things, anything for your online business or whatever you need online, they have it. When I've been gone for a while, and some of you probably be like, where you been? What you been doing? I went on for a while because things got a little hectic in my life. I had some changes, but good changes. I'm married now.
Good.
Living in Indianapolis, Indiana, the basketball.
I hear you.
Mecca. I still consider D.C. the Mecca of basketball, but Indianapolis is where I am, the Hoosier State. People don't know how to drive out here. I know that much.
Well, let me ask you, before you go any further, man, let me ask you about Indiana, or Indianapolis. You've been there for how long?
I've been here since June.
Since June. Okay, so you're a newcomer, so you're still trying to learn the city and the people in the city. Are you in the heart of Indianapolis, on the outskirts, or what's up with that?
No, I'm in Indianapolis.
So what type of city is Indianapolis? What can you compare it to the city of Indianapolis? Is it an old city? Is it a relatively new city? Is it a friendly city? Is it a city that's easy to get around? Talk to me about Indianapolis.
I mean, Indianapolis is a cool place. It's a mixture of white and black more so than D.C. is more like predominantly black. So here it's a little bit of a mix. You got white people living right next to black people. It's more mixed up racially. You have your Hispanics up here. You have all of them. Indianapolis is a very busy, bustling city. The traffic is better than D.C., but it's still wacky. The people can't drive over crap. In some ways, they're worse than D.C., and I never thought I'd say that. The only person I thought was worse than D.C. was New York, but they up there with D.C. Indianapolis has this hood places. It's the Hoosier State. They love Indiana University. They're in the Big Ten. Me being a Michigan man, I go at them or whatever. So,
right? Yeah, I know you.
Yeah, so I give them the business, but they're not really rivals to me. They're like the little brother that you keep in the playpen, man. You don't have to worry about them. They get out every now and then, but they ain't gonna be consistent. So that's where I'm with that. But the city is nice. I mean, it's not bad at all. It's not a dirty town. I don't know how to really describe it, but I mean, it's just like any other city. It's got its hood. It's got, you got your ghetto people. You still got knuckleheads and stuff like that. So
that's everywhere, man. You know that. That's everywhere.
Yeah. So I mean, it's a cool place. It's easy to get around. Somewhat. I've learned the city pretty well. Where I have to go, I've learned pretty well. But what's made it a lot easier is that my wife has OnStar in the car. And I'm, like, spoiled with it. Because it used to be before I just used Google Maps. And it seemed to talk to me turn by turn. But I got Google. But now I got OnStar in the car. And the OnStar is dope. Because they'd be straight. I can call in and say, I need to go home. They got my address on file. If I say I need to go here, I tell them the address. They download the directions turn by turn. I'm spoiled, man. But all in all, Indianapolis is a dope city. I like it. It's cool. I don't have no problems with it. Not at all. Do I miss D.C.? Do I miss home? Yeah, I miss it. I miss a lot of things about it. But at the same time, I don't miss it like I'm crying or tearing up. I miss the Goodman this year. I missed the Goodman this year for the first time since I started coming. And that was kind of a new experience for me. But I need to be done. I need to take care of some things and stuff. So I'll be back next year. But I miss my friends, and I miss the Goodman a year. I miss the Goodman a lot.
Okay, talking about basketball. I don't know how close you are to where the Pacers play, or football where the Colts play. I don't know if you plan on going to see a Pacer game or a Colts game in the respect of sports. How close are you to them, and are you planning on going to see the Colts play, which is indoor, which you can see it at your leisure, and also a Pacers game, because I know you're a big basketball guy.
I'm not gonna go see the Colts before I go to Ford Field. I can't do that. But I may end up doing it if the Lions come here and I got if the Lions came here and I got tickets, I would go. I'm not a fool. If I had free tickets or something like that, or I could afford tickets, yeah, I'd do it. As far as the Pacers are concerned, one of my friends works for the Wizards. So if the Wizards come and he can hook me up with tickets, then I'll go. I'm not big on spending money on basketball games or football games because it's too expensive. But if I get an opportunity where there's some tickets are thrown at me, given to me, or they cheat, I go. You know, of course, I go watch some basketball. But, you know, it's nothing like – but I'll be honest with you. You know, one of my favorite things, man, is to watch football and basketball games while I'm on Facebook. That's like my favorite thing. Like it's like being with a bunch of friends. It's like being with a bunch of friends. You can talk trash. You know what I'm saying? Everybody gets to hear what you say.
Right? You're the first person I ever heard that they enjoy watching a football or a basketball game and simultaneously being on Facebook.
it's hilarious because what you realize is there's a lot of people doing it because
right.
You know, I'll be sitting and watching a play that just happened, I'll be like, man, what the heck was that? You know, and then a whole bunch of people will comment on it like, yeah, man, I just saw that too. You saw that, you know, whatever. So just like I had a tweet, not a tweet, I had a Facebook thing the other night about Empire. You know, everybody likes Empire, everybody loving Empire, all that. And, you know, I mean, Wednesday night was a landmark night, dude. I ain't watching it no more. I was like, I'm not ever watching Empire again.
I DVR'd that since the first episode in the second season and haven't watched. I think they've gotten 5 episodes, and I haven't watched one yet. So tell me why you're not going to watch it going forward.
You said don't tell you why?
No, tell me why.
Oh, well, I can't remember the guy's name who created the show. Last name Daniels, whatever his name is. Well, he created the show, but I found out and I didn't notice, you know, Empire has a lot of gay overtones, a lot of gay, you know, has gay people in it. You know, the son of the guy who runs the company is gay and all this kind of stuff. And there's a thread of gay stuff that runs through it. Well, you know, I already, you know, didn't like the fact that, you know, they were showing blatantly two men kissing on the doggone thing, which pissed me off.
Right.
You know, but I was like, you know what? The story's good, I'll deal with it. You know, I dealt with it last year, and, you know, I was like, well, I'm not going to watch it, because I really made up my mind, like, I'm not going to keep watching this, because they were getting worse and worse with the gay thing. You know, this year, the second season, they have just lost their mind. Every time, in every episode, there's always some kind of gay thing or something gay in it. So, Wednesday, I'm sitting there watching it, and... You know, whatever the main chauffeur, you know who stars in it, Terrence Howard's son was, you know, kissing his boyfriend or whatever. So
right.
I was like, you know, I turned my head, I'm like, man, I can't deal with this, it makes me queasy. So the guy is talking to him about relationships, this third guy. So it's three guys. It's the one guy and his boyfriend, and then it's this third guy who's like a photographer, and it's or whatever. He's talking. Man, the next scene after the two kiss each other, the guy and the third guy are walking down the hall. The boyfriend gone. This fool pushes the dude against the door. No, pushes him against the wall in the hallway, right? and get ready to go down on him. I cut it. As soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, hell no, I cut it. I was like, nope, I'm done. I am done. I said, I'm out.
Wow.
Y'all done lost y'all mind. I'm done. Yeah, that's exactly what.
Well, let me ask you something. Isn't this on your favorite station? Isn't this not on your favorite station?
Yeah.
I'm shocked.
But you got to remember, you know, I heard, you know, it's funny you say that, because when I posted it, one of the girls on there said, well, she said, yeah, all Fox shows, and I knew she was a Democrat. So the first thing I said to her was, I was like, well, let's be honest. They push the envelope on all the stations, to be honest with you. All of them are doing it. You know, sex in bed, all this kind of stuff. Now, I admit that, but remember this. But I get what you're saying, but you do realize there's a difference. It's all in the same company, but you do realize that Fox News and Fox is two different separate entities in together, even though they're under the same umbrella. And
yeah.
Fox and 20th Century Fox has been around a lot longer than Fox News.
Yes, quite a bit longer.
I just want to make that clear. So I get, no. Let me tell you what my favorite channel is. You saying Fox is my favorite channel. To be honest with you, I like Fox News. If you want to say that, yeah, that's my favorite channel. That's the channel I watch for political or for news.
Mm-hmm.
I dip in on The Delirious. You know, I dip in on MSNBC every now and then just to see how much crack they smoking on there. I check in here. But, I mean, other than that, you know, I just want to see how crazy they are. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like I said, I mean, MSNBC is ridiculous, man. They CNN getting bad, too. But, you know, I mean, it is what it is, man. I mean, political news. But like I said, I do peep in on those. I do look to compare what they're saying based on what Fox is saying. But as I said before, I do my research. So let me let my listeners know if anybody's tuned in. The reason why we're still talking is because my guest has not called in. So
right.
If he doesn't call in, we're just going to talk. We're just going to do our thing, and then we'll go.
Yep.
And then I'll try to reschedule, him next time.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway. So yeah, I mean, yeah, it's under 20th Century Fox, but you know, I don't think Roger Ailes, or I don't think the Fox News station is, you know, rah-rah on it. But I can tell you this, I'm not watching that joint no more. Cause when I saw that, I was like, oh nah, I'm done. I was like, once they took it there, I was like, I'm done. Now of course they didn't show everything, but you knew what he was about to do, and I was like, oh man, I'm done. I just cut it off, and I was just like, I'm through. And I just think that's terrible. I just, like, you know, I still don't, you know, to me, Empire belongs on cable. That's me. That's me.
Well,
Empire belongs on cable.
Yeah, I didn't realize that that show, because like I said, I haven't watched one episode this year, this season. I've DVR'd it and recorded it, and really haven't gotten around to start watching the first series leading up into the fifth series, fifth episode. So, from the trailers I saw in the before it came on this year in the first episode, it seemed like they were pushing the envelope, and I'm saying, well, it should be very interesting. It sounds like they really pushed the envelope, and you may be onto something that it shouldn't be on network TV; it should be on cable TV.
Right. But we all know ratings and money talks, and they're not going to take it off.
And sex sells.
Right. No, gay sex sells. Yeah, I don't know why, but it do. But I know there's still a segment. But like when I put it on Facebook, you know, I had a lot of response from a lot of dudes. Was like, dude, I ain't watching that no more either. Like, dang. And then somebody hit me like, it was like, dang, they doing that? Oh, yeah, I'm definitely not watching that no more. I was like, yeah, man. I was like, they going too far with this gay stuff, man. I mean, I'm just, you know, maybe I shouldn't say this, but I don't know. The whole gay thing is like, it's like humans living among vampires, man. That's the only way I can describe
it.
Oh,
come on, man.
Yeah, it is.
Come on, man, stop.
Nah, man, stop. It's creepy, dog. Don't get me wrong. You know, I coach against a gay coach. and all that kind of stuff. I'm cool with that.
You don't sound like it.
No, it's nasty. I mean, it's detestable. It is. And to be honest with you, me being a Christian, I know God says it's detestable. I can even tell you why biblically why God doesn't like homosexual. I can tell you exactly why.
I'm listening.
You
know? I'm listening.
Okay. Everything in the Bible that God talks about is about multiplying and about taking a seed and planting it and reaping a harvest and getting something. So God believes in planting something and something coming from it. Two men don't get anything. They don't create anything. They can't. You got to have a woman involved. Two women can't create anything. That's why he hates it, because it doesn't create anything. It's deviant, and it doesn't create anything.
That's all a perspective. If you're talking about procreating, then that's a different story versus creating
But that's what I'm talking about. God, that's why marriage is sacred as an institution. God created marriage to create children. That's how you reproduce. That's how you created man. Period. So if two guys get together, you can't create men. You can't create nothing off that. A man can't get a man pregnant. A woman can't get a woman pregnant. So what does that tell you? That tells you that God didn't make them that way. God made the penis to slide inside of the vagina. He did not make the penis to go somewhere else. So my thing is, that's why he hates it. Because everything in the Bible was created. And notice, everything when he put Noah in the ark, what did he do? He put all the animals in what? Two by two, right? And all
exactly.
The people in, right, you know, I know why? Because it was a male and a female, because he knew when I flood the world, I got to reproduce this. So he put in a female and a male. He put two male donkeys in there. He put a female and a male donkey together to reproduce. So all I'm saying is that's why God don't like it. You know, I'm not, here's my thing.
Wait a minute now. You talk about God don't like it. Now, there's a difference between not liking it and disapprove of it.
I don't support the lifestyle, period.
Well, there's a lot of people that don't support the lifestyle. Okay.
Right.
Let me
straighten that out, because I know where you're going. So let me straighten it out. I may call it what it is. I may give you my personal feelings on it.
Mm-hmm.
But the Bible says to love all. To love everybody.
Yes,
that's all he told us.
Exactly.
He didn't tell us to mistreat them, but he told us to love all. So gay people, I don't have no problem with their lifestyle. That's their business. I can have my opinion about it, but God looks at how do you treat them. So if I have a person that's gay, I still shake his hand after a game. If I'm running to somebody, a friend of somebody else's that's gay, hi, how you doing? My name is Carson. My name is Max. Shake hands, whatever. I'm cool with that. Okay? But, am I going to hang out with them? No. Am I going to call them names and mistreat them and say, get your hands off it? No, that's not me. That ain't me. Now, if you come out the mouth crazy on me, then I'm going to tell you, I ain't with that. That's not me. You know, I'm going to let you know. But if that doesn't come up and I know you are, I'm not going to bring it up. I don't bring it up and I don't talk about it. I don't mistreat people based on their lifestyle. I don't have to like it, and I can think it's creepy crawly and makes my skin crawl and makes me burn, but that's what they do. You know what I'm saying? But that's them. So, again, like I said, I don't mistreat nobody. The Bible says to love everybody. You know, we're not supposed to judge them or, you know, stuff like that. But see, people get that whole thing twisted about the judging thing. But, you know, people think judge is I'm judging because I call something, because I tell the truth about something. Then they say, well, you have no right to judge. I'm like, well, you know, I'm not judging. Because judging insinuates punishment. So if I can't punish you, I can't judge you. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I sort of see what you're saying, but I mean, if you have an opinion,
if you're a thief and I call you a thief, is that judging you, or is that the truth?
Well, if you're a thief, you're a thief. I mean, that's not judging you. Let me put it in a different perspective. I'm glad you used that analogy. Okay, a guy gets put in jail for stealing. Okay.
Right.
10 years ago. Okay. Now.
Right.
10 years. He's out of jail. But you know this guy 10 years ago was a thief. Some people still judge that guy as being a thief and no good, and other people take him as he is. You follow what I'm saying?
Right.
That's what I'm talking about.
That
you judge somebody by what somebody may have done, or and that person may not be who you think he is.
He may not be that anymore. But here's my thing. And you're absolutely right. But here's the difference. The difference is if I'm not going to tell him he's a thief, he was a thief. Now, once I find out anything different, then you are a thief. Now, I don't believe that everybody stays who they are, because people change. People can change. But that's up to them. But I'm not going to judge him. When I say judge, I'm not going to tell him. If I tell him you're a convicted thief, that's the truth. That ain't judging him.
That's the truth.
But if he comes out, and I treat him differently because he's a thief, I treat him wrong, and he hasn't done anything to me, that's wrong. But I'll give you a better analogy. It's just like I tell people about forgiving. God don't never talk. People think that forgiving is, I forgive you and I let you come back in. You come in my house and you steal my money, okay? Now me and you get into it, and me and you stop being friends or whatever, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now I forgive you. Me and you have a conversation. I go, you know what, Jerry? You know, I really didn't appreciate you coming to my house and stealing my wallet, stealing my stuff. You know, I'm going to forgive you for it. I'm cool. But you can't come in my house no more. That's forgiveness. But some people don't think that's forgiveness. And I say, yes, it is. Because God also talks about wisdom. He also talks about don't sit there and keep doing something and you know it's wrong.
Exactly.
So my thing is, if Jerry is a thief, me and Jerry can be cool and be friends. But me and Jerry see each other out of my home. You can't come break bread in my home because you're a thief. And as far as I'm concerned, but I'm not going to treat you any. I'm going to treat you different as far as that's concerned, but that don't mean we can't still hang out. I just know I got to keep my money in my pocket. I can't leave my stuff around because you're a thief. Or I can decide to leave you alone, but that doesn't mean I don't forgive you. But the world gets hung up on thinking that's not, when you're still, they think that when you do stuff like that, they think you're not forgiving. I'm like, no, that ain't forgive. I can forgive you for what you did, but I'm not stupid. You know,
right.
I'm not going to just
exactly.
let you, like, God doesn't talk about being stupid. Like, oh, if he's a thief, please let him in your house and let him take everything you want. And that's not how it works. So, you know, but anyway, enough about that. You know, so you going to vote for Hillary? Let's talk about that. After what you heard, what you think about that?
Well, let me put it this way, Mac. And I saw a piece on Facebook. And you probably saw it. The guy ranted on with two women and a male on a program, and I forget the guy's name. It was just on a couple days ago, and I work with a guy that has your views, and we go back and forth quite a bit, and he had to agree with what I was saying, what I had sent him, what I shared with him from Facebook. This guy said that it doesn't make a difference who is in office, because both of them, political parties are at fault. They cater to whoever's paying the most money. They cater to the big companies, as in, and this is both sides, not just one side. They cater to the banking industry, which is extremely corrupt, and until someone stands up, meaning the president, regardless of what party he is, and says, this is what's happening, this is what needs to be done, and it's going to stop here. You're still going to have two parties doing their thing, regardless of whoever you put into office, doing their own thing because they're run by the money. They follow the money to keep themselves in office, to keep themselves in fat in their pockets, in their wallets, and until somebody actually stands up, regardless of what party it is, it's not going to change. And I've been saying this. I think I told you this before. I've been saying this to my friend, and he's a friend of mine, and we've been knowing each other for over 40 years, whether socially or working together. We've been knowing each other for 40 years, and I tell the same thing. It doesn't make a difference who is in office because the system is so corrupt that it's so entrenched in one way of doing things that regardless of who's in office is not going to make a difference. I'm extremely frustrated and very indifferent about what's going on throughout the country and the politics and how visceral it is from one side to the other. And I don't see anything happening that it's going to get any better. Talk to me.
I mean, for me, I agree 110% with what you just said. I do. That's a lot of the reason why, honestly, that's why, if you look at the Republican field, everybody's laughing at Donald Trump, and I'm like, y'all laughing at the man, but I was like, but people frustrated. They don't want career politicians. Me, personally, I like Donald Trump, and I tell you why. The biggest reason why I like him is because he's not being bought. It's because he has his own money, and he don't have to have nobody paying him and getting him in and then owe him down the line. That's one of the things that makes him attractive. I like Carson, but I think Carson's a little soft. I don't think he's willing to get – he's not a mudslinger. He ain't a fighter. To me, that's just to me. Not saying he's a bad guy. He just doesn't strike me as a guy that strikes fear in anybody. That's just my opinion. Other than Trump, everybody else is okay. Fiorina's okay. Marco Rubio's okay. But I just look at all these people and say, y'all telling me what you're going to do, but you ain't really going to do it. The only person I really believe is going to do what he says is Trump. Because he's not being bought. But here's the thing. Let me say this. I understand how everybody feels about Trump because of the things he said and stuff like that. But I respect what he said, and I don't get offended by it. Because to be honest with you, the stuff that he's saying needs to be said. You know, and whether people know it or not, just like what he said about the illegal aliens, immigrants, they need to go. They do need to go. Everybody, the problem with this country is everybody's feeling sorry for everybody. They're not paying attention to the people that are here. They're not. And that's a problem for me. So that's a problem for me. A real big problem. You know? I like Trump. I do. And I think, and I haven't disagreed with too much that he's saying at all. I mean, it just needs to be said. Period.
This country is made up of immigrants. From the time it was born, it's made up of immigrants. Immigrants built this country. And a lot of businesses, whether they want to believe, people want to believe it or not, promote illegal immigrants to come into this country to work for them at a substandard wage. To say that Trump is he's catering to what people want, a certain group of people want to hear, and a hot button issue is immigration. It's one of the hot button issues. So he's catering to those type of people who want to hear that. And if you, in my opinion, is this: if you trust Trump to have those launch codes in his hand or in his briefcase and to be able to act responsibly when it's time to have a thought about using him or not using him or looking for a better way to resolve an issue, then you can just, as most people will say, a lot of people will say, put your head between your legs and kiss your ass goodbye, because Mr. Trump is one of these type of guys, in my opinion, that rather than think it out, say, damn it all, I'm gonna push the button, and here comes World War III. And that in itself scares the hell out of me, because the fact is, he's the type of person that is so arrogant enough that I'm gonna push this button and damn it all. And that's the right attitude that you want from the world leader, which is the President of the United States. You don't want
right.
that type of attitude. You need somebody who's got a sense of the situation, not try to do things on impulse or because he wants to flex or he wants to flex his testosterone out. You can't
okay.
have that. You can't
so
have
let
that.
Let me ask you this. So how is Obama working out?
What do you mean, how's Obama working out? We're not in the
so
World War,
Obama
are we? We're not in the World War, are we?
Yeah, but we got Russia in over there running things. We got the world in chaos because he pulled everybody out and there's no control. So I'm just saying.
Let me ask you something. Every president has gone through some type of crisis, whether it's Russia or things happening in the Middle East in the last
right.
10, 15, 20 years. Every president,
right.
so, and every president hasn't decided to push a button or to act recklessly, has tried to go the
You're
diplomatic
right.
route first before trying to
right.
do something that may push you to a world crisis or a world conflict. You don't want to do that
right.
because it's too much at stake.
Yeah, but see, hold on. But let me say this to you. First of all, the president can't just walk in the room and just be like, okay, I got the launch codes. I'm going to just press the button and then screw everybody. You got to get Congress behind you. It's a process to this. It ain't like the dude can just run in the office and be like, hey, man, open up my drawer. Let me push these buttons real quick. It ain't like that.
Yeah,
but I
understand what you're saying, but Trump, in his attitude says that the hell with in his attitude, in the way I see he could possibly be, is that I'm the president, I'll do what I want, and damn Congress, and that's the attitude. That's the type of attitude he has.
But he can't do that. That's the point. He can't even get into place without Congress. The buttons ain't sitting in his office. He got to go through some people. He can't just walk in there just because he decides to. I mean, he can't. That's what everybody don't understand. He can't walk in there and do it without Congress. He can't even get in the door, in the room, without the vice president, without somebody else, without Congress saying, yeah. He can't do that. So that's number one. That's misconception number one. Number two, Trump has never said, I want to go blow people up. What he said is, I'm militaristic. What he said is, he believes building up the military so that you get peace through stress. You see what I'm saying? It's like anything else. If I got a strong military that's strong, ain't nobody going to mess with us. Ain't nobody going to mess. That's the truth. It's like the street. It's like the street thing. Nobody's going to mess with the guy on the block that's the biggest dude on the block. If I got 40 dudes that's with me on my gang, and you got 10, well, you're not gonna mess with us, because you know reputation. So that's all I'm saying. But as far as, I mean, to me, I just feel like the guy ain't trying to blow things up. But you know, my thing is, at the same time, but you gotta also understand, I go with a guy who knows how to negotiate. He's a negotiator. That's what he's done all his life. He's been the best at it. I don't have no problem with that, because a man who knows how to negotiate, that means he's not a hot-headed man. He's not a man who goes around and just does stupid stuff. If you can negotiate, especially in real estate, in the number one market in the world, and you're dealing with all these different people, different people from the world, like Trump does, then you, what you're telling me is, then all these years he's been running around just cussing people out, jumping up and down, and just firing off on people, right? No. Obviously, he's got what he wants. He knows how to negotiate. He knows how to leverage his thing.
And running companies in the ground and creating a lot of bankruptcy through all his companies, a lot of his companies.
Yeah, but that wasn't his, but you see, that's the other misconception. Everybody says, well, Trump's name is on the building, so it's Trump's company. No, it wasn't Trump's company. Trump put his name on the hotel, and he got paid a percentage off of it, but it wasn't his. We did the bankrupt, and we did. And here's the thing. This is what kills me about everybody talking about you run a company into the ground, and then you call it bankruptcy. Dude, white people have been doing that, and black people have been doing bankruptcy for years. Rich people have been doing it for years. Okay.
Absolutely.
So here's the thing. So here's the thing what gets me about everybody who says about bankruptcy. So the law, so if you don't like it, change the law. But don't make it negative, because guess what? It's worked out for a lot of black people. So I don't want to hear everybody talk about Trump ran a business into the ground. Like, really, we're going to talk about running some people into the ground? Okay. I can talk about a lot of business. I can talk about business. I got laid off and got dumped off.
You're not running for president.
So what? Bankruptcy is a natural thing. Everybody does it. So nobody's qualified for it. The people who are not qualified, you got people in office right now in the president's cabinet that haven't paid their taxes. So you think that's okay too? So we should just throw them out on the road too, right? So you telling me that we got a woman who's running for president who actually lied about emails, hid it, told one person one thing and lied to the American people. So that's the same as bankruptcy? That's illegal. Bankruptcy ain't illegal. So to compare the two or to say, well, he runs companies in the ground, he does all this and does all that, that's disingenuous. You know, people been doing that for years, but that don't mean nobody runs somebody in the ground. Because to be honest with you, all bankruptcy does is get you out of debt and the person comes out of it clean. But everybody benefits from it. The laws are the same for everybody. It ain't different for nobody else. I've used bankruptcy. So I'm just saying, my thing is, let's not make something that's legal bad. But then, you know, we don't make that bad, but then we act like we excuse everything else. Because, see, as far as I'm concerned, what Hillary Clinton testified to the other day and what FBI investigating them, that's what everybody need to be talking about. That ain't running the company in the ground. But I don't think, like I said, Donald Trump didn't run that company in the ground. He took his name off it. He got out of that before it went belly up. So he's not the one. He had his name on it, but it wasn't his company. But then everybody says he ran this down. I'm sorry.
It's not one time. He's done it several times. It's not just one time that it's happened to Donald Trump that he declared bankruptcy in one of his businesses. And that's what I'm saying.
But what does that have to do with the American people?
And this is a flaw in the process. The American people. And it doesn't make a difference. I keep on saying this, and people are just not listening to what I'm saying. It doesn't make a difference what political party you're affiliated with.
Right.
People are looking for a perfect candidate, somebody that doesn't have any flaws, and it's going to be the absolute pristine candidate to be a president, when the presidency for ever since I think probably JFK or maybe even Franklin Delano Roosevelt has been
right.
a popularity contest.
Right.
Who's ever popular in the press, whoever gets the
right.
most positive things coming from the press and it caters to what people want to hear, the majority of people want to hear.
Right.
For the most part, in fact, I can't think of one person who the media has grasped and been on the side of the media, positive side of the media, that has and is running for president that hasn't gotten elected. It's a popularity contest. So if you win that popularity contest, it's media driven. It's media driven.
Right.
So if
right.
you win that popularity contest through the media, regardless of how you feel about the media drives a lot of people to vote for one person or the other.
Right. And the media is dishonest anyway. I mean, mean, let's be honest, 90% of the media is dishonest. And 90% of the media leans Democrat. They sat there. You should see the headlines for today after Hillary Clinton sat up there and testified. They made it like, oh, it's nothing. It's just a witch hunt. It's whatever. They like her. They're on her side. She's a popularity. Yeah, she's going to get it. If they have her way, Hillary Clinton will be the president of the United States. So what you just described is probably going to happen at some point. The only thing is, like I said, I agree with your analogy. It is media-driven. I understand that. I, for one, am not looking for the perfect candidate. I don't know anybody's going to do perfect and do everything right. I never said that. But there are things that I believe that are core values that can be corrected. The one reason why, I'm going to tell you this, and nobody really, you know, I don't blame them. So everybody talks about, I know what everybody says. I hear what black people say. They say, well, you know, the reason why Trump is popular is because he says stuff for the white people. You know, the white people that are racist and don't like this country being run by a black guy, they hate this, they hate this, they hate that. And, you know, I do this analogy, and it's the truth. I said, well, think about it. Let's just think about it. For 7 years, 7.5 years now, these people have been told you're racist every time they say anything, every time they question the man, every time they say it that you call a racist. Let me tell you. Ever since Barack Obama got into office, race relations have gone back to the 1950s and 1960s. I don't care. Y'all can say it. Now, they ain't lynching nobody. No, they not got black and white on the thing, but it's just as bad. It's terrible. Our race relations in this country was better before he got there than when he's here now. It's because he's been hypersensitive about the whole thing. But think about it. For 8 years, let's think about this. If for 8 years, let's say a Spanish guy got in right now. A Spanish guy got in. And all the Spanish were calling all the black people calling them racist and calling them names and telling them how and talk about how, you know, black people do this and black people do that and criticize our clothes, what we do, how we carry ourselves, the process we go through. If they did all that for 7.5 years and a black guy come along and says, you know what, I'm tired. We need to take our country back. And then people sit and say, you know what, they're going to black people again. They talking about taking their country back. This is racist. They just want to take us back. They don't like us. They don't like the guy. They don't like us because
we're
black. No, hold on. Let me finish. So let's say you have that for 7.5 years. You've been called every name in the book. Everything you do is wrong. Black lives matter. You can't say all lives matter. Your police are bad. They all bad. You think about that. Your country is totally different. Now things are totally different. You can't even say something about a black person. You can't even tell a black person no unless they get called racist for some reason. It's always something about race. So what I'm saying is you think about that. For 7.5 years, I dig how they feel. They've been basically trashed and called second. They've been pushed to the floor and called everything in the book and called everything but a child of God. And then you expect the guy that comes along that says, look, man, these illegal aliens need to go. Which I can tell you why the Hispanic people are let in here. I bet you already know why the Hispanic people are being let in here by the Democratic Party. When they just voted down, they don't want to in sanctuary cities. The Democrats still put that thing away. You want to know why? I can tell you why. The main reason why the Democratic Party, they want to let all them Hispanics over here is, I can tell you why. I can give you the whole theory, and I can sum it up real quick. The one reason why the Democrats want them Spanish people to come over here and they letting them in is because they want a whole nother voting block. So we give them free stuff and give them everything. No vote for Democrats. You want to know why? Because they can't trust black people to do it. You want to know why? Because y'all don't go to the polls like y'all did for Obama. When Obama leaves, black people will never, ever, ever have a 90% vote rate like that ever again in life. When nobody else, people will sit at home, people won't knock on doors, they won't do all that stuff they did before. And see, what the Democratic Party knows is they got job votes, but they can't depend on them. So now they bring the Spanish in because really what they want to do is let the white vote. So if you make the white people the minority in this country, you can secure keeping a Democrat and Democrats in the White House all the time. You control the party. And that's why they're doing it. Now, nobody believe me. The Democratic people stick and laugh at me. I'm like, okay, just remember when, and here's the funny thing. It's a Trojan horse, because here's the funny thing. Black people think it's okay now, and they really don't care. Y'all don't really care about Hispanics coming over here. They don't. They really don't. The reason why they don't care is because it don't affect them. But I'm going to tell you now, in a while, it's going to affect black people, because some of them guys are going to start calling them Hispanic people, and they're going to military. It's all of my heart. I don't have anything against Spanish people. I have nothing against them. But we are a country of laws, and they need to come in here the right way. It's disrespectful to all the people who came over here on them boats. It's disrespectful to all the people who came over here and did the process the right way. The battalions and all of them came over here, and they made them go through that process, get their green cards, all that stuff. And then you got this whole race that you just letting them in here, and you got people keeping them safe, and they're committing crimes. I mean, I don't know where you stand on that, but to be honest with you, man, they got to go. They got to go. And I like what Trump's saying. Get them and get them out of here. And I know he's not talking about going door-to-door, knocking on doors. Anybody who thinks that is stupid. Anybody who thinks that he's talking about going door-to-door is stupid. The man never said that. But you can always pull a person over. You can always stop and frisk. You can always, if you have a guy brought in on charge, he illegal, ain't got no card, send him back. That's how you get rid of him. But everybody seems to think like he's crazy and wacko. And nobody wants to build a wall. I want a wall. I don't want them people coming over here. Not the bad folks. I don't want them over here. And like I said, it's all fun and games until one of the Spanish people kill one of our people. Then it's not going to be funny no more. Then it's going to turn. And then everybody, then I'm going to sit and I'm going to say, yeah, this is what y'all wanted. Y'all didn't stand up. Black people don't stand up and say nothing. Y'all don't care because the jobs they doing is the jobs we don't want to do anyway. But now when they start moving into these other jobs that we do qualify for, we want to do, then everybody's going to be mad. You mark my words, Jerry, and when it happens, I'm going to let you know. I'm going to say, Jerry, I told you. Y'all should be standing up just like the white people stand up and say they need to go. Y'all need to, because they're going to take y'all jobs, and guess what? They're going to control voters. And what if they decide they don't want to vote with us? What if they decide they don't want to vote for that? They don't want to legalize that? Then we're in trouble. Because now they control the vote. And that's where it's going, I'm telling you. I'm telling you, Jerry. Jerry, I don't have no problem how you feel about Trump. I get it. But I like his ideas. I like what he's doing. And I think they're good ideas. I especially like his insurance. I especially like the insurance, the health insurance plan. I like it. I like the tax plan, too. I don't know how you don't like the tax plan. That tax plan is dope. You know what the tax plan is?
No, I haven't gotten into that.
Trump's tax plan is if you make $30,000 or less, you pay zero tax. Zero. If you make 30 or less, zero. If you make over 30, then you pay. I think you pay a small percentage, but it's like 25% or 20% or something like that. It's gradual. It's four different rates, but he takes out the loopholes for the rich out of it. But the biggest thing is, with the way his tax plan is, you don't have to pay no taxes. Half the people, half these young people that got these fast food jobs, you don't pay no taxes. You don't pay no taxes on it. But again, MSNBC and all the dishonest other people don't report that to y'all. They don't tell y'all his tax plan because they know it sounds good. But that's the tax plan. You know, so all I'm saying to you is, Jerry, I get your point about, I agree with you 110% about the presidential process. I agree with you 110% about the perfect candidate thing. Everything you said about that, I ain't got no argument with you about that because I believe that. But at the same time, you got to take what you can try to get and those who you think are going to get it. And the reason why I trust Trump is because Trump ain't being bought and because Trump going to do what he say he's going to do and he got enough money to do it. And get it. I mean, he got it done, and I believe he's a smart man. Any man that I don't care what you're, any man that owns 500 businesses as of right now makes $10 billion a year. I'm good with that. Somewhere along the way, he know how to negotiate. He know how to talk to people. He know how to get along with people, and he knows. And he's a thinking man. He's not a stupid man. A stupid man wouldn't have $10 billion in 500 businesses. A stupid man wouldn't know how to negotiate and leverage his stuff against people. That's what we need. We need somebody in there who's not a part of the political process and a career politician. We don't need that. I agree with you on that. We don't need career politicians. That's why you're frustrated, because both parties aren't doing it. So why not turn to an alternate candidate who's from the outside instead of the guy whose career, who knows all the games, all the jokes, all the way to say it, the right way to say it. I don't want that. I want a guy who's going to try. Look, at this point, try something new. Why not? You know, try something new. Yeah, I mean, if y'all could take a chance on Obama, community organizer who was in the Senate for all of 6 months and got to be president, why can't we take a chance on a guy who's never been in political office? Why not? I don't understand why not. understand, everybody don't, you know, the reason why everybody don't like Trump is because he's Republican. If Trump was a Democrat, believe it, y'all, everybody would love him.
Well, at one point, Trump was a Democrat, so
exactly, and
he moved over to the other party, he was, I would say, and I have to say this, because he was the type of businessman Trump was. He went with the political waters and pushed money to political party that could benefit him the most.
Right, but he was but again, this is legal, and so he was a businessman then. When he's not a businessman, now he in this, he don't do it no more, and he's against the process. I can understand that. That's like me sitting here saying, you know,
that's like the pot calling the kettle black.
No, it's not.
That's like the pot calling the kettle black. Let me put it this way. He pushed some money.
Wait a minute.
He pushed some money. To benefit him to whatever political party that he could benefit from. Now he's saying that's a bad process, and it's not going to happen like that anymore. Well, that's the pot calling the kettle black. He used it to benefit himself. Now he's saying it's a bad process and it's a flawed process. So that's, like I said, that's the pot calling the kettle black.
Okay, but Jerry, let me ask you a question. So, Jerry.
Yeah, I'm listening.
I'm asking you. So, you're telling me that if I'm a businessman, okay, so if I'm a lawyer, and I'm defending criminals, and then later on, after I've finished being a lawyer, I can sit and tell you, man, that dude was guilty. But I had to do my job, and I did what I did, and I had to defend him. So, I had to find a weakness in the case in doing that, and to get the guy off, because that's my job. So you're telling me that everybody who does their job, even if they don't agree with it, that's calling the cop, the kettle black. Why is it different?
No, that's a different analogy. What I'm saying is this.
But Jerry, how is that different?
He played on both sides of the political fence in order to benefit himself. Okay.
And
he's done it for, you know, I'm not saying that, but a lot of them are running for president. Trump is. So what I'm saying is this. He's done that process over a period of years, and it benefited him. That's why he's a billionaire. Now what you're telling me, he's saying that's a bad process, and that the process is flawed. It's a flawed process.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't a flawed process, Mr. Trump, when you were using it. Now, because you're running for president, now you say it's a flawed process. That's the pot calling the kettle black. That's what I'm saying.
Then if that's the case, I don't want to hear this. I don't want to hear nothing about bankruptcy then. Because everybody burned bankruptcy, and there's people that's running. That's probably people in the political right now who've done bankruptcy.
There's a big difference. There's a big difference in an everyday Joe who claims bankruptcy to get himself out of deep debt, or a congressman, or a senator, or an assembly person, or a council person, or somebody running for local government that's declared bankruptcy. There's a huge leap, enormous leap when you decide to run for president. You can't equate a person, an everyday person, or even a senator, or even a congressman, to somebody who's running for president. That's the ruler of the free world. We're not talking about average Joe. We're talking about the ruler of the free world.
Right. So show me the law and the rule that says that. But you're missing the point.
The point is a person running for president, regardless of what party they are, and I would say this if it was a Democrat, a person who's running for president has to be above that. That's what I'm saying.
Right.
has to be above that. They can't have flaws like that. It has to be above that. That's what I'm saying.
So wait a minute. So their whole entire life they could have never done bankruptcy ever. And that just qualifies them from the presidency. So if a presidential candidate ever did it in their lifetime, they're disqualified from being the president.
I didn't say they were. I never said they were disqualified. But it's a flaw. If you're running for president, this is not, like I said, this is not a person running for a mayor office. This is not a person running for Congress. This is a guy running for the presidency, which, like I said, is the leader of the free world. This is the leader of the free world. He's got to be above reproach. That's what people are looking for. Somebody that's in the presidency above reproach. So a flaw like that over multiple times is a huge flaw.
But what makes that a flaw? Tell me that. What makes that a flaw?
Because the fact is, somebody who's running for president shouldn't have that in their past history. Shouldn't have.
Okay.
And I'm not saying one time. I'm not saying twice. I'm not saying three times. I'm talking about multiple times. This is a lot. Mr. Trump has done this quite a bit. Quite a few times.
Okay.
It's not like it was a unique situation. He's done that quite a few times, declaring bankruptcy through his holdings. So what I'm saying, that's just one thing. I'm just saying that a presidential candidate has to be above that. Has to be above that. I can't stress it enough.
He is the
leader of the free world. People in this country are looking for someone that has very little flaws, extremely very little flaws that they can look up to, that they absolutely can look up to.
Okay. So let me ask you this question. You're saying it's a flaw.
Sure is.
Because he's going to be the president, right? Even though it's legal and the rules are the same for everybody and everybody can do it, but it's different for him because... Wait a minute. I'm just getting this straight. Because I'm about to blow your argument because I'm going to watch you squirm in this one. I'm going to watch you change it.
No, you won't.
So wait a minute. So wait a minute. So he did this and that's a flaw and you believe that's a flaw that should disqualify you from the president, or at least make you look a little bit different, right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Not disqualify him, but it's a flaw that shouldn't be there. Let me put it that way, because he's running for president, and I can't stress this enough. He's going to be the leader of the free world.
And that
carries a lot of weight. And a lot of people don't realize how much weight that carries. That carries a lot of weight throughout the world. It's not just in this country, throughout the world. I'm listening.
So what about when Obama smoked weed multiple times? Go ahead, explain that one. Come on. He ran for it. Yeah, come on. Come on, Jerry. Give it to me, Jerry. Tell me, Jerry.
What do you want me to say? What do you want me to say?
Well, I'm just waiting to hear what you said. So that's a flaw, right? Too right.
He got elected.
You okay with him being president? But you okay? Right. But you right? Exactly. So you okay with that though, right? Did you vote for him? That didn't stop you from voting for him, right? Right.
You're missing the point, Max. You are definitely missing the point.
Jerry, hold on. He did a fatal flaw based on your definition. You said it is a flaw. You said it's a flaw, and you are the leader of the free world, and he should not have that flaw. So what I'm saying is, based on what you just said, your own word, then Obama has a flaw because he smoked weed. You didn't give a limit. You didn't give a statute. You said whatever they did. You said it shouldn't be in their past. You said past. So the fact that Obama smoked weed multiple times, in his own words, in his own book, everybody knew it.
That's a flaw. I'm gonna say that. Wait a minute. Listen. You want me to answer? You just gonna keep on talking?
But Jay, Okay, did it disqualify him? Did you vote for him? That's what I'm asking.
See, Mac, I kept on saying it about Trump. I said it didn't disqualify him. I just said it was a flaw. That's all I said. It was a flaw. I didn't say, I specifically said it didn't disqualify him. I just said it was a flaw.
Okay, cool. Then the flaw don't count because you're making that
The flaw does count. But
okay, good. Okay.
The flaw does count. But in my previous conversation, what I'm saving, I've said, I told you it's a popularity contest. I keep stressing that. I keep stressing that to all my Republicans who despise Democrats or who have a lot against Democrats. I said it doesn't make a difference who's in office. It's the same old stuff. And I wish I had that. I wish I had shared that with you. That thing I saw on Facebook because this guy.
I agree with you, Jerry. Listen to me, Jerry. That argument that you have about that, I have no problem with. I know it is. I know you can't find a perfect candidate. It's impossible. You'll never get an argument out of me. But what I'm saying to you is that I look, my whole thing is based on policy. I'm a conservative. I'm not even a registered Republican. You know me. I'm a registered independent. But I am conservative. So what I'm saying to you, the reason why I didn't, and I'm going to tell you the reason why, and the reason why I never registered with either party as far as Democrat or Republican was because I look at policy and what they're selling. What you're telling me you're going to do, what you believe in. And now, do I believe that some of this is based on popularity or based on whatever the news of the day is a popular? Yeah, true. Do I believe Trump is doing that? No, I don't. Because I believe Trump don't really give a doggone. Because I believe he cares about the country. I do believe that. And I do believe he wants to make it better. But at the same time, he's not politically correct. I like that he says stuff to people. He's not doing that. I love it. But what I'm saying to you, Jerry, is everything that you're saying, I agree 110%. The reason why I'm with Trump is because he believes in getting he believes in reform and getting these people out of here that aren't supposed to be over here illegally. He believes in building a wall. I believe in getting rid of Obamacare and replacing it with taking down the state line and making competitive with the insurance company so we lower the price and lower the copays and all the other stuff. Okay, I'm in that. I'm about policy. The reason why I'm for ending abortion, or you know at least I'm against abortion, but you know I'm firm on all those things.
So you're telling me you're against the right for women to choose. And the reason why I'm saying that is because then you're telling me, and maybe I'm missing this, but maybe it's, then you're telling me that any time a woman decides to have an abortion, you're judging that woman should not be able to have the right to do what she wants with her body, and if anything and the only way she should be judged is from her maker when it's time for her to pass through another life, not from people that are on this earth right now, and trying to take away her right to do whatever she wants with her body, and if she wants to be able to abort. Now I agree. That at a certain time, it's too late. It ain't happening. But if it's early into a pregnancy and she decides to abort, that she should have that right to do that. Now, and she has to answer to her maker when the time comes, not to somebody on earth.
Okay. So let me ask you this question: do you believe that the baby inside is a living organism, is a living thing? Do you believe it's human? I'm asking.
Excuse me, say that again.
Do you believe that the baby inside of a woman is a baby, is a human being, is a person?
Wow, that's a heavy question, Mac. Depending on.
No, I'm asking you because it has a heartbeat. It has a heartbeat. It's there. said. I said, is that a human being? I'm asking.
It's a beginning of a process of being a human being. Let me put it that way.
No. But it has a heartbeat. It has a heartbeat and it's moving. Is it a human being? I'm just asking you, is it a human being? Either it is or it isn't. You're telling me it's moving, it's got a heartbeat, it's there, and we all calling it a baby. Oh, she pregnant. Oh, she about to have a baby. We know it. We look in the ultrasound, we see it. No matter how small it is or how little it is, that thing is living. So I'm asking you, do you believe that it's a living being, a living human being?
I know. Once I answer it one way or the other, I know where this is going. So, you know, for lack of an argument or to whatever get an argument, I'm gonna say it's a living being because I know where you're going after this.
Okay. So I'm gonna ask you this question: If a person has the child and doesn't want it, what are the options for that mother?
All depends on what economical status she's in. Depends on what economical status she's in.
But hold on. It really doesn't. Listen to the question again. If a mother who is pregnant, whether it's through rape, incest, or she had it by a guy she don't like no more, whatever, I'm asking you, we've already answered that it's a human being. Now, what I'm asking you is, what are the mother's options if she does not want the baby other than abortion? What are the options?
Well, as far as I know, she can put it up for adoption.
Absolutely. Okay. So now we can put it up for adoption,
but,
right?
I'm going to go this way. There's a crisis of kids in this country that are without mothers that are in the system without mothers because
okay,
the mothers.
Good, I got that. So let me, I got that. So let me ask you another question. Do you believe, Jerry, that every child is brought here by God and God has a purpose for everyone on this earth? Do you believe that?
Yeah.
Everybody's born with a divine, with a purpose, right?
I'll play along. Go ahead.
Okay. So, point is this: if the Creator God allowed this to procreate and have a baby, whether it was through incest, rape, whatever, okay. What we do know is that you do know that there are people on this earth who have come in here. You know there are people alive today that have come through bad circumstances or through hurtful circumstances, whether it's rape or whatever, that are alive today that are serving society in a capacity. Am I right?
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
Okay. And if they weren't here, nobody would be doing that maybe. Okay. So here's my point. So let me sum it up like this. So who are we to make a decision on another human being and whether they live or die when God intended for them to live and brought them here for a purpose and a plan? If that person's not here anymore, then we miss out on something. Who knows if this is the person that cures cancer? Who knows if this is the person that can cure any disease or whatever we're going to do? You know, I'm just telling you like this. This is what I believe, because there are options to women other than killing the baby. You don't want it? That's fine. That don't mean that kid's a bad kid. Who are we to make judgments? We don't create kids. We create kids by procreation, but God is the one who created the process. So if the kid is here, if the kid is coming, no matter how he got here, there's a purpose and plan for his life. God brought him here for an intention. If he didn't, he'd have him die in the womb. Or he wouldn't bring
then
him.
Then
and God
then who,
just
then
right.
Who are
so,
we?
So
who
are, so who are who, we? So who are we, women, or anybody else, to say you have a right to go ahead and kill that baby, but yet if the kid was 1 year old, the kid was 6 months, 2 months, 1 month, 2 months, 3 months, and that kid was still, we all jump up and down and go, oh, my God, you're a child killer, or you're a child rapist, oh, my God. But if it's in the womb, we don't care. Oh, it's just a blob. It's nothing. It's got his heart beating. It's got legs, a little arm, a little bit of his weeny head. It's cool. But, you know, she should be able to killer that she wants. It's her problem. That's the problem. I have a problem with that. That's the core belief of why I'm against it. When you say a woman has a right to choose, well, who had a right to choose for her? I mean, come on, man. We all here because somebody chose to have us. So we're just basically saying, well, this now that I got mine, well, you can't have yours. You can't have your shot at life, but I can get mine. Come on, man, that's selfish. I don't care how you slice it, dice it, or say anything. What I'm saying if a woman don't want the baby, put up for adoption, and there are people out here who want kids. The thing that's preventing people from getting kids in this country is governmental bureaucracy and red tape. That's what it is. Because there are people out here who want kids. There are people who are good families who want kids, and they can't get them. And that don't make no sense.
Let me ask you something, Mac. And I hate to do this, but I'm gonna do it anyway.
No, you might do it. Ain't that personal?
No. That's not what I'm saying. You understand when I start saying this? There's a million of couples out here or whoever that want kids.
Right.
But a certain type of kid.
Right.
A certain color of kid. And that's a fact.
Ooh.
And that's a fact.
I got it. But here's what you're forgetting, Jerry. But, Jerry, if God is who we believe in and God is in control and God brought the kid here, God can get it to the right family and right person. But who are we to make the decision for them and say, well, kill the kid? Come on, man. We're making all these decisions for our life, and we're defending. We're making decisions like we're God, whether that kid can live or die or be here.
And we are not, in my opinion, we are not the judges of that. The man, High Almighty, is the judge of that. And any person, and I truly believe this, any person that a woman that does that should not have to answer to anyone that's living on this earth, has to atone for that when they meet their maker.
That's
how I feel.
I'm not asking them to answer for it. I'm not judging them. I'm just saying, have the kid. You don't want it, then give it to somebody else. Then give it away. But give the life a chance. We don't know who that kid can turn out to be, though, Jerry. We're basically saying, screw you. You don't get a chance because you came here because of a choice that was either I made or a bad choice I made or somebody raped me or did whatever. Based on somebody else, we're making decisions on a baby. And I understand what you're saying, but there is no judgment. Because if it was outlawed, there wouldn't be no judgment. You had a kid and you had to give it away if you want to. That's what I'm talking about. I'm fighting for the kid that's in there that has a purpose and a plan for his life. I don't care about the woman. I don't care about the man. I don't care about them. Because they have their chance. They're alive and well. They're doing all right. But that kid and that kid is a human living being in their belly. And we're making decisions to allow somebody to make a decision to end that life and that purpose and that plan for that kid's life. When you explain it that way, nobody can sit here and tell me that kid don't have a right to live. And everybody keeps saying, well, you know, when they die, they got to deal with God. No, they don't. In fact, everybody who supports it got to answer for it. Everybody who votes for it got to answer for it. Everybody who supports it, God holds everyone accountable who is for that, giving that choice, and you don't stand up and say something. What you endorse is what you for. And I'm just saying that I'm for life. I'm for a kid living his life, and every child that's born in this, that's put into that womb, is here for a plan and purpose, and they have every right to live and serve out their life, and don't nobody have a right to tell God, this life don't belong here. I ain't going to have it. I'm getting rid of it. And there's no way anybody in this country or in a civilized country should be okay with people killing a baby and pulling it out their stomach and then people who use it like birth control and all this other stuff. It's crap. We should – here's my thing. I'm not for it. And I'm especially not – but here's the thing. Even if that's so, and even if you say you believe in a woman's choice, that's fine. You can believe in that. I don't. But here's the other thing. Anybody who believes that Planned Parenthood ain't killing these kids and selling off the parts is stupid. Anybody who believes that those videos were fake and made up and had all these actors and all these portrayals in it is stupid. They're doing it, and they're doing it to sell stuff. Here's my point. I don't want Planned Parenthood. I want Planned Parenthood to fund it because they're doing this stuff. And they're doing it, and I know they're doing it. I know they're doing it. I bet bottom dollar they're doing it because I know women who have been in there and they told them and talked them into doing it. I've heard it from people that have been in there who said I never thought it was gonna come out. So what I'm saying to you is those videos are true. But here's my point. This is the biggest lie they tell, and this is what I want. That's what I want everybody to know. There are only 30,000 or more than that, like 300,000, whatever it is. There are clinics, other women's clinics that do everything other than abortion that give women services. The same services that Planned Parenthood keeps lying and keeps saying, well, if we go out of business, ain't nobody going to have it. That's a lie. That's a lie, Jerry. That's a lie. There are women's centers around here. I know some here in Indianapolis that don't do abortion, that come in and get, you know what they do? I know a place that I know for a fact that a girl that my wife knows who went in there and got pregnant, and she changed her mind. You want to know why she changed her mind? Because they showed her the ultrasound. They put it on her stomach and showed it to her. And she didn't want to have an abortion no more. Does Planned Parenthood do that? Hell to the no, they don't. You come in there, they don't show you nothing. They talk to you, or they talk you out of it. They don't show you that's a living baby. All I'm saying to you is this. I'm not for a woman's right to choose. I'm going to tell you. Because God created that baby and had it here for a reason. And God is the only one who can end that life in that belly, or if she had that baby, there are choices that she can have to give that child up for adoption, and that child can turn into something. He can turn into a life that's good, no matter how that child got here. And anybody who believes in church or a Bible and believes in going there and tell me that, and you believe that somehow some woman got the right to tell somebody to terminate a human life in her belly, it's crazy. It's lunacy. It's insensitive. It's being God. It's basically you saying, okay, it's cool. It's not cool. It's not cool to kill somebody in somebody else's purpose in life and not give them a chance to live. So everybody can, you know, people may not like my view, but that's what it is. You see what I'm saying? So all I'm saying to you, Jerry, is I don't. We disagree on this, and that's cool. I mean, I understand it's a disagreement, but I'm just telling you why. I see, like other people, they just say I don't believe in abortion, or they just say I don't believe in a woman's right to choose, and they can't explain it. I'm gonna break it down to its purest form. I'm gonna go to my Bible and to what I believe. If every child is born with a purpose, if God has a child get here, it don't matter how they got here. If they get here, and if they here, and they in that womb, and they're living, and their heart is beating, and they're alive, they have a purpose. God has a purpose and a plan for that kid. And there's no human being's right to be like to play God and to say, I'm going to end this kid's life because of the choice I made or because of the circumstances I'm in and not give that child a chance. Think about it. What would happen if Ben Carson's mother aborted him? How many people would have died? What if Jerry's life ended? Where will your son be? Where will your daughter be? Look at the fruitful people that are here. I'm saying when you look at it from that perspective and to sit there and tell me that somebody should have a choice to end a life, who gave them that right? There is no right. I don't care if God said don't kill. That's it. So to me, I'm saying if a kid has a purpose and a plan, he should be here. Period. And if you don't want it, that's cool. I don't have no problem with you not wanting it and putting up for adoption. Then give a kid a chance. Let God take care of that. Let God sort that out. Let God lead that kid in his life where he's going to. But we shouldn't be the ones to make that decision because it's not fair to the kid. Nobody protects the kid. Nobody protects the child. We only protect the child when he comes out of the womb. Then all of a sudden he becomes important. But then when he's in the womb, still alive, still got feelings, still got a heartbeat, still sitting there, we make decisions on a child that's the same as a child that comes out of the womb. He's alive and he's well. But because he's not outside the stomach, he don't matter. When he or she don't matter, that's crazy. That's insanity. That is lunacy. That is straight up psychiatric. It is. And that don't make no sense, man, Jared. It just don't. It ain't nothing right about it. And ain't nobody can sit and make me think that there's anything right with that. There's nothing right with that. Now I don't judge the people who do it, but at the same time, if you come to me and say, do I support it? Hell no. I don't. And God bless them people that stand out in front of Planned Parenthood and stand with their back to the street and pray that place shut down. My heart goes out to you. I salute them people. Because I blow my own every time I go by and support, because they shouldn't be over. I'm off my soapbox, man. I'm good, man. But
I know. I'm
Jerry,
just letting you
Jerry,
go. I hear you.
I mean, Jerry, that's just me, man. I mean, you know, I think about where my daughter would be if I gave her up. And I look at her now, 21 years old, about to graduate college. I'm sitting there going like, man, what if we had made that choice? I lost a stepdaughter in her sleep. I lost a stepdaughter, died in her sleep because she choked on her vomit. She tried to throw up and she choked on it. She was saying she's a hard sleeper and she died. It was my daughter's sister. I forgot to tell you that. That did happen. You know, I told you about Ashley and Brittany, my two daughters, but Ashley died in her sleep.
Wow.
I forgot about that. And so for me, it's real personal because I'm sitting here like, man, she only got to be 20 years old or whatever she was and died. And I'm sitting here like, man, what if I never had her? You know, it's hard. So for me, it's just a different kind of animal. I dig everybody else where they come from, but I just don't think it's fair that when a kid gets out of the womb, then we care about it. But until then, they're expendable. That just doesn't sound right to me. It's just not right. Like you said, I agree with you when you said, you know, beyond a certain, there's a certain point where it's like, nah, I don't agree with that. But for me, life is that conception. When that sperm gets in there and starts growing, it's a live, living thing. I know that. I know God don't put no dead thing in you. Everything that's inside your body, when that sperm gets up in there, it's alive. Okay? It's a human being. The one that swims in and gets in there, that's the one. So anybody who sits and says, well, it's not, life begins at conception. Whether you think so or not, life begins at conception. It does. You know, but and to say that's not true, what you're basically doing is discrediting God's process, and basically you're saying God puts a dead sperm in you, and it turns only alive, you know, when He turns it on. It ain't like that, okay? Sperm is a living organism when it comes out of the man. When it comes out of the man, period. It is. So, my thing is we need to give life a chance and stop killing these kids. But anyway, my time is short. I know we got to go this weekend. I want to apologize to everybody who tuned in and was waiting on my man Scott Hirsch. I'm going to get on the phone tomorrow, or get him on the phone tomorrow, see if we can reschedule him.
We got about six minutes left, Mac.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I'm just saying, we'll try to get him back on the phone or what have you. You know, Jared, if you want to give a parting shot, man, give a parting shot. Whatever you want to say, whatever you want to shout out, give a shout out to or talk to anybody or talk to or whatever you want to say, go ahead. Take your couple of minutes, man.
You sure now? Can I talk now?
I'm not gonna bother you. Go ahead, do your thing, baby.
No. I just wanted to talk about woman's right to choose. I mean, I know we can agree to disagree. I know you probably spent out about it, but I really, my core values is that no one should have the right to tell a woman what she could do with her body, plain and simple. And I truly believe that once she's at the pearly gates is where she should be judged, whether she was done the right thing or not. Obviously, you would disagree with that. A lot of people think the way you think, and rather not have that type of thinking, which I'm saying that she should atone for when she's passed on, that she should not have that right and to get that baby up for adoption. But there's a lot of babies out here that are just in the system and are in bad situations because the mother gave them up and no one wants them. So they're in some type of home and getting used and abused. I wish I had the statistics of the babies that were born, given up one way or the other, living in whatever situation, good or bad, but not with a family that has a sense of not who they are, not being able to get a good education because of their how they feel about themselves because of their no family situation, and the fact is how many of those that grow up and become career criminals because they have no type of guidance and they pretty much have to fend for themselves because no one took the time because they happen to be of a certain a color or not the right look for a certain couple to take them. And that's a huge problem in this country that kids that are given up for adoption who are taking a full term are stuck in a system that they have no control over until they get of legal age, which is what, 17, 18 years old? And then God help them because now they have to fend for themselves. And if they got a decent education, maybe they make themselves a viable life. But if they have it because they picked up bad habits growing up through the years because of their environment, now become a menace to society. That's a problem. That's a huge problem in this country. I don't know. I don't have a solution for it, but I know that if a woman wants to terminate her pregnancy, she should have the right, in my opinion. And we can agree to disagree, but that's how I feel.
No, I get it. Yeah, but, I mean, like I said, man, I just believe there's too many people out here who have been in the same situation that you just described for adopted kids and everything else and made it out and became a success. So for me, so the
more
argument,
of them,
so
more of
like,
them have
like
it versus more of them have. More of them haven't.
Right. I get that. But the fact is, no matter what life is, everybody has a chance at it. And it should be, and everybody should get that chance. But I get
some
what
have,
you're saying. I mean,
some
I mean,
have
I
a better
get,
chance
get,
than others.
True. But that's like, I mean, well, it's not the same argument, so I'm not going to make that argument. But it's like the argument of the people who sit and say, you know, kids in this country need more opportunities, who got parents and got a place to live, and talking about black kids need more opportunities and things like that. And I'm sitting there going like, I mean, there's not, you know, I say this frequently to my wife. I said, there's not one obstacle that black kids or black people have faced that somebody hasn't overcome it and become successful or rich. The only difference is those have tried and tried and tried again when they got hit with obstacles, got hit with the same obstacles, people went around and got up. There's no such thing as luck. You make a decision to go around it, you go to a different way, you do it a different way. You don't give up and you don't give in. There's a lot of people out here today that are giving up and giving in. First time they get hit in the mouth and first time somebody tell them no, or the first time they make a bad decision and life doesn't come out that way, and then they try once or twice and then they quit, and then they go, well, now somebody owe me something. It's the government's fault. It's the white man's fault. You know, I'm sick of it. Every opportunity, the opportunities are the same for each and everybody in this country, period. You have the opportunity to go get a job in a fast food joint just like anybody else. You have to go get certain skills for certain jobs, and you can go to school. There are people who said, I couldn't afford school. There are people out here now saying, I can't afford school. I can't go to school. But I know for a fact that they're turning back. They're not even using all the government money, all the money that's being out there for them, all the free money. Nobody's applying for it. So to sit and say that, well, we don't get something. So I guess what I'm illustrating, my point is that people can give a lot of reasons why something won't work or whatever, but the fact of the matter is you got to keep trying. You got to do it anyway. Let him do his thing. But you know, like I said, that's my next real pet peeve is that, you know, people are out here yelling that, you know, they keep saying the same thing in the Democratic Party. You know, everybody needs more opportunity. Black need more opportunity. We need more money in our schools. Come on, man, we've already done it. We've done that for years, for hundreds of years, for the last 50, 60 years. It does no good because the simple fact is it all comes down to responsibility. If a person wants to do something, they're going to do it. If they're not, they're not. My thing is there's not one obstacle that black people complain about, not one. Not one lack, not one thing, not one trouble, single family, one mama, no kids, adopted, whatever. There's nothing under the sun on this green earth that a black person as a kid or an adult or a teen or anything else has not faced, that somebody black of color has not overcome and become a success and made it. Not one. So it's disingenuous to sit and say that, well, they need more opportunities. You got the same opportunity in life as everybody else. It's all about taking it. That's it. And if you don't want to take it, that's it.
That's a conversation for another night.
We can go back and forth
with that for another 2 hours. But the time has come to part ways and enjoy the rest of this weekend.
All right. Well, I sign off to everybody. Tune in next week. I don't know what I'm gonna do. I might have Mr. Hirsch on next week, or I have something cooked up by next week, or me and Jerry will just sit here and go over politics again. But either way, we'll see you next week, man. Thanks to everybody. Have a great weekend, and we will be back on next Friday at 8 o'clock. Please tune in to Jerry's show. Tell him when your show is on, Jerry.
Tomorrow, me and Vic Gardner will be on the FSP show, which is 1 o'clock Eastern Standard Time on a Saturday afternoon. And on Sunday, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the Master Plan, which I host, and I'm the one that give you your fantasy goodness, and hopefully you tune in. I've been red hot for the last few weeks with some nice picks. So tune in 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time. It's called the Master Plan.
Yep, and with that, we are out. Jerry, have a great weekend, man, to you and your family, and I will see you, and we will talk again next week.
Same to you, man. See you.
All right, later.